Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Jake Hassan.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Jake Hassan. On the Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Welcome on in Early Odds 670, The Score. Jake Hassan with you for the next hour. Welcome back, everybody. Hope everybody had a good Christmas and Christmas Eve. I did. It was pretty awesome. Couple days off, but we are back and a lot to get into. College football, obviously, look aheads. We have the playoff games happening on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So going to talk about that a little bit. A ton of NFL to get into. Some fallout from the Christmas Day games that we should talk about as well. So going to get into everything. First segment here today, going to hit on a couple of things. Like I said, want to talk about some of the fallout from the Christmas Day games, because I think there's some awards talk to get into there. Want to talk about the college football playoff games a little bit as well, obviously. And then some NBA hashtag takes from your boy here, which I know we don't get too terribly often, but obviously a big injury on Christmas night with Luka Doncic that we have to get into. But want to start with NFL, want to start with the awards there, because I think there's a really interesting conversation to be had regarding MVP in the NFL. And Josh Allen has been the huge favorite. He's been the guy. We've been talking about him for a while now. And he gets out to this huge minus price, and obviously, like, deservedly so. Like, Josh Allen is the deserved favorite in the MVP market. But I think what we're going to start seeing is people get bored. Right? Like, people get bored of constant favorites, and people always want to look for that next that next guy or the value or how to get a positive price. You know what I'm saying? Like, people want to try and beat the favorite. And I think part of that is you see the same name over and over. You know, it's just Josh Allen. He's always the guy that's just been at the top, and he's this huge minus price. Well, what does he deserve to be? And should he be? And the answer, of course, is yes. Like, Josh Allen is having an awesome year, but there's fatigue, right? And so I think what we're starting to see is people are going to start trying to make the case for other guys. And what we're starting to see is that guy right now, because at first it was Saquon Barkley, right? He was on this tear. He was having these huge games, and he was scoring multiple touchdowns per game, and people were making the case for him. And immediately that became, well, so he's a running back. He can't win. It's a quarterback's award, which, I mean, has proven to be true because Saquon Barkley is now 20-25 to 1. But we still have the desire to try and beat the favorite. And Josh Allen, minus 250, minus 300, is having an awesome year. And now Lamar Jackson, after his last couple of weeks, which then culminated on Christmas night where the Ravens just absolutely wallop the Texans, which, remember who's been against the Texans all year long and has been saying that they're fraudulent and not very good? Yeah, just want to bring that up. But, you know, Lamar throws a couple of touchdowns, runs for another. He has that 48-yard run, has almost 100 yards on the ground. Didn't have to throw that much because, you know, they could just run the ball because they were up a million against the Texans. But we're starting to see the push for Lamar Jackson because he's having an awesome year, statistically his best year of his career. And so people are saying, well, should Josh Allen really be minus 250? Maybe he shouldn't be that big of a price, but he is. And he probably is still the MVP. And we'll see what happens this weekend. Bills, by the way, 9.5-point favorites against the Jets. And I think people are trying to make the case. But what we're going to see, I think, is people may have already decided. Like, people may have already in their brains, voters may have already decided that, yeah, Josh Allen is just going to win. Like, people want to give Josh Allen the award. You know what I'm saying? Like, Josh Allen's career arc has been up and up and up, and he still hasn't won an MVP. And I think people now are saying, okay, it's his time. You know, Lamar's won a couple. Josh Allen hasn't. Josh Allen's having the year. The Bills aren't going to get the one seed in the AFC anymore. Now the best they can do is get the two because the Chiefs beat the Steelers. They lock up the number one seed. But people want to give the award to Josh Allen. And it's kind of, in a weird way, similar to the Heisman, right? Because Travis Hunter was a huge favorite, and he was a favorite for a long time. And then at the end of the year, people were like, well, shouldn't it be Jenty because this stat and snaps aren't a stat. And just because Travis Hunter plays a lot doesn't mean he's deserving of the Heisman. But people wanted to give the Heisman to Travis Hunter because we don't see this that often. And I know, I'm not saying that, you know, that Ashton Jenty shouldn't have won or that it was wrong or right. It happened. And you don't see the two-way player that much, especially at that level. And I know we don't see running backs play to the level that Ashton Jenty has played very much either. But the point being that people had decided already, we want to give the Heisman to Travis Hunter. We want to give this guy the award. And that was kind of broadcast pretty much on a billboard for you. Like, it was pretty evident for a long time. And I think that you may see that with Josh Allen too. Now, I'm not saying go rush to lay minus 250. I'm not saying that it's Josh Allen hit by bus factor where he gets hit by a bus and he just wins anyway. Not saying that it has to happen, but, you know, don't go running to bet Lamar at 2-1 because a lot of people on Twitter are saying, well, this is the best year of his career, and by this margin and this stat and this and this and this, he's the best quarterback. I think that people have maybe, and I don't know anything. I'm not saying that I know anything, but I'm just saying, like, look at, like, historically what, like, when voters decide, hey, this guy is deserving of an MVP. He hasn't won one before. We want to give it to him. They're just going to do that, you know? So I just think that maybe don't let Twitter convince you that Lamar has to win. I still think that Josh Allen is probably he's the deserving favorite. He's minus 250. He's probably your likely winner. So that's all I'm saying as far as that goes. One more other NFL award really quick. Comeback player of the year, Sam Darnold, 6-1, getting a ton of steam. A lot of people are talking about him and how awesome he is. But I just don't want to bet that because The AP clarified these new rules that a player has to come back from some kind of injury or hardship, and Sam Darnold's just coming back from being himself. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe voters are still just going to say, hey, we're voting for him anyway. Maybe that's just what happens, but I don't want to bet on that. You know, I don't want to go, okay, yeah, well, then I'm going to bet Sam Darnold just because I think voters are going to vote for him anyway. I don't feel confident enough to do that. So it's just, I still think it's probably Joe Burrow, and that's why he's minus 450, but, you know, is what it is. And, you know, it be what it be. As far as NBA MVP goes, Luka gets hurt Christmas Day, calf strain. All reports are that it's going to be a significant injury, quote unquote. He leaves the stadium on crutches after the game. And now Jokic is minus 110, and he's a minus price to win. And yeah, I know the Nuggets aren't awesome. They're not just boat racing people anymore. So maybe it's SGA. I feel like there's an opening here. You know, I feel like there's an opening for somebody else. I mean, it's just past Christmas. There's a ton of NBA season left. So I feel like, yeah, Giannis is on this tear. He's plus 390, 4-1. Feel like that is something that you could possibly get in on. And I mean, if Wemby's going to do this, man, like if he's going to put up these insane stat lines in his first Christmas Day games, he throws up 42, has a ton of blocks. If he's going to do that, and we had Rick Camp on last week talking about how Wemby is on this tear and how he's just, you know, he's a star. So maybe if you want a really long shot price, Wemby at, you know, 50-1, 45-1, that could be worth something, because we just talked about voter fatigue, and Jokic has just been the guy for the past couple of years. And maybe they've decided that SGA, it's his time and he deserves to win one, or maybe it's Tatum. I don't think it's Tatum just because he doesn't really do it for me, and the Celtics as a whole are more awesome than anything. So I think that there's an opening in NBA MVP where, yeah, Jokic is minus 110, minus 115, but we still got, what, 5-6 months left in this season? There's a lot of leeway for somebody to kind of kick that door in. And right now it's Giannis because he's on an absolute tear. So, you know, and this is a guy who was a short price to start the season, fell down the board, and now the Bucks have resurged and they look awesome and he's getting a lot of credit. So maybe that's who you want to attach yourself to because, you know, he's on this tear. The Bucks are awesome, and that's what you want to go. But I think that it's something to monitor, and I think that there could be somebody that really makes their name and kind of makes a charge and could win this award. So that's just what my thought on the NBA MVP is, and NFL MVP as well. Let's talk about these college football games. You may know, but big on Notre Dame, bet them 10-1 before the playoffs started. Obviously, they take care of business against Indiana. I do like them as well in their game against Georgia. We're doing this whole thing with, oh, well, Carson Beck's out, but does that really matter? Because, you know, Gunnar Stockton, he looked really good in the SEC championship game. So was Georgia starting the wrong quarterback all year long? No, they weren't. Carson Beck, I know he had his ups and downs this year, and I know he wasn't playing great in the SEC championship game before he got hurt, but Kirby Smart's not a dummy. Like, Kirby Smart isn't sitting there like, oh yeah, I'm probably starting the wrong quarterback for 13 weeks. Like, that's just not happening. You know what I mean? Like, Kirby Smart's not sitting there like, yeah, I'm going to bench my best quarterback because I have some unknown, well, not unknown, but I have some weird loyalty to Carson Beck, so I'm going to put the team at risk. Kirby's not going to do that. Kirby Smart is not going to do that and just, you know, potentially shoot his team in the foot. So I don't want to hear all this, oh, well, Georgia, they get the bump now. Listen, could Georgia win the game? Yeah, they're favored for a reason. They're minus 1.5, and they're minus 128 to win the game. But I think Notre Dame, they keep showing you ever since that Northern Illinois loss, they just continue to show that they're an awesome team, and they'll beat you down, and they'll destroy you in the trenches, and they will just take care of business against you. So I feel like, I have Notre Dame futures. I don't need to bet this game. I'm basically holding Notre Dame money line. But if I had, you know, if I didn't, and you gave me $100 and said bet the game, I'm taking Notre Dame on the money line. I'm taking the dog. Just, they really impressed me against Indiana. Now you go to a neutral. You have a backup quarterback. I don't care how good he looked in the SEC title game. Now Notre Dame's had time to prepare for him. I think he maybe gets exposed a little bit against Notre Dame. So I'm good, but if you're looking for a bet, it's Notre Dame. on the money line for me. I would love for Arizona State to get to 14 here. I would really, really love for Arizona State to get to 14 because then I'm in. Because Texas, I know they took care of business against Clemson. They won that game by 2 touchdowns. But Clemson got stuck on the 1-yard line a couple of times. And that game probably should have been closer than it was. And yeah, you can make that argument then for Texas, like, oh, well, if they stopped him on the 1-yard line a couple of times, so obviously, why can't that happen against Arizona State too? Sure. I think Arizona State has a really balanced attack. Scadaboo is obviously the story, but Levitt's really good too. And Levitt has performed and stepped up in big moments. So I think with a balanced attack for Arizona State on offense, they could keep this game really close. And here's the biggest thing for me with Texas is that Sark might panic here. Are we sure that Sark isn't going to panic and throw an arch for a series or two if Ewers throws an interception or has a rough start to the game? I don't trust Sark to not panic a little bit and go to Arch Manning one or two times in this game. And if that's what it's going to be, if it's going to be a quarterback flip-flop throughout the game at random points, then I am way in on Arizona State because I think Arizona State is a team that capitalizes on that chaos. I think if you're a little shaky and you maybe aren't as committed, and here's the thing too, we have Ewers rumors that he's going to go for some massive NIL deal. Doesn't seem like that's something that you want on your mind, on your starting quarterback's mind for the playoff. For the college football playoff game. Seems like you might want him locked in on that. Now, that's rumors. Who knows? But it just feels like Arizona State, they kind of thrive on chaos. And I feel like there's an opening here where Texas, maybe there could be some chaos opportunities. And in that case, I like Arizona State. I think if we get to 14, I am way in on the Sun Devils there. I also like Boise State. I think that people are going to look at Penn State destroying SMU and say, oh, well, they're just going to roll. That game was at home. You go to a neutral. I think Boise State's a better team than SMU. You also probably aren't going to get 2 defensive touchdowns out of Penn State either. And listen, game is game. The result is the result. They did get those touchdowns. But for this game, and a team that is going to run the ball in Boise State a million times, probably not going to have those defensive touchdown opportunities. So not saying that Boise State has to win the game, but 10.5, 11, I'll take those points. I'll take double-digit points with Boise State if they're going to just try and grind it out and run the ball and keep it close. It's also the classic James Franklin, you know, fade spot. Big game James. Turtles in these spots. On a neutral, not at home, doesn't have the home crowd behind him. I think Penn State, I think they win the game, but I like Boise State to keep it close and grind it out and kind of try to keep it a ugly rock fight type of game. So that's what I'm thinking for the playoff games as far as the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day games. And earlier, to start the show, gave some thoughts for NFL MVP and NBA MVP following what we saw on Christmas after the Ravens beat down on the Texans and following Luka Doncic's calf injury following their Christmas Day game, and he's going to be out for, quote, a extended period of time. So thoughts on that, but we're going to hit a quick break. Really fast, hit a break for a couple of minutes, but on the other side, going to start running through every one of the remaining NFL games, give you thoughts, bets on the side, total, maybe a couple props as well in each of the remaining games Saturday and Sunday. So stick around. That's next. Take a couple minutes. On the other side, go through the whole NFL slate. We'll be right back. This is Early Odds. Jake Hassan, 670.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Score. All right, welcome back in Early Odds 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you for the next 30, 40 minutes or so. And first segment talked about NFL MVP, NBA MVP, following Luka Doncic's injury, following Lamar Jackson's Christmas Day performance. Gave you some updated thoughts on all of that and the college football games, the playoff games at least, as well, which of course will be on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And so this will be the last time we talk before those games. So gave you the thoughts there. So now I want to flip over to the NFL. Obviously, we had a few games on Christmas night, had Thursday night football, the Bears, woof. But we still have a bunch of games. We have a handful on Saturday, and we have obviously the remaining slate on Sunday. So wanted to just start going through all of these because do have some thoughts, honestly, on most, if not all of them. So we're just going to run down the board here and go with that. So we're going to start with Chargers at Patriots. This is sitting at 4.5, totals at 43.5, and I'm going to be so honest. I think this Patriots team is on the up. I think Drake May is a dude, but the rest of that team is just a zero, man. Like, the head coach is a loser. The play calling's atrocious. Obviously, we all saw the viral clip, or we probably did, unless you're not logged on, which if you aren't, good for you. But of, you know, the Kraft family up in the boxing, this play calling is atrocious. So the Patriots just don't have much going for them outside of Drake May. And the Chargers are a good team. They're a playoff team. I don't think they're like a Super Bowl contender if they could get high to make a run. But Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert are really, really good. And so 4.5 for this Chargers team, like, I don't really get it. It's way short to me. I think this should be 6.5 or 7. And it's obviously not that. So I am very comfortable betting the Chargers at this number. I really like it. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, the cross country dynamic and they got to fly from LA to New England. Listen, this isn't 1972. Like, these athletes are flying first class, private jet. Like, they can lay down and sleep. They can get all the treatment, everything they want, anything they want, anything they need. And so we're in the 21st century. You know what I mean? It's not a long, arduous process. Yeah, a long flight's a long flight, but they're in the pinnacle of, is that right? Pinnacle? Yeah, sure. The epitome of comfort for these guys. So I'm not worried about the cross-country travel. So I'm laying it with the Chargers. I think the under is the play, though. Like, I think the Chargers could score a ton, but I don't see how New England scores more than, like, 10. Like, does New England score 2 touchdowns in this game? So under for me if I was going to bet the total, but I am betting the Chargers on the side. I laid 4 earlier in the week, 4.5, 5 now. I still think that's good. I would have bet it at 6.5 and 7. So I think the Chargers way good there. Next game, Broncos going to Cincinnati. Saturday afternoon game later today. And Cincinnati has to win out, like, and they need help from other teams, a couple losses along the way from other teams, in order to sneak into the playoffs. So they have a lot to play for. And yes, Joe Burrow's awesome. He's phenomenal. Ja'Marr Chase is awesome. They would both be up for awards if they were on a better team. Joe Burrow would probably win MVP. Ja'Marr Chase would probably win Offensive Player of the Year. However, they're on a terrible team. And this Cincinnati defense, like, let's be honest, any of us could go out there and probably gash this defense, run for a couple hundred yards, throw for a couple of touchdowns. So I just don't see how this Cincinnati defense stops a Broncos team that has been pretty surprising on offense and is the reason they've gotten this far and are in the playoff picture themselves. Bo Nix has been really good. And so, honestly, I'm not like, you could take the points if you want, but I'm taking the Broncos outright to win this money line as a dog. And I know favorites have had a great year, and like historically great, but I like the dog here. I like the Broncos. Time after time after time, what we've seen with this team is they just win these games. Like, they just go out there and they win games that they're not supposed to, that they don't have a huge chance in. And listen, the spread's 3. So it's not like it's a 7.5, 8-point spread. You know what I mean? It's a 3-point spread, which implies a close game. So I like the Broncos, even though they're on the road. I think that defense should be able to do just enough to maybe slow down Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, which I know is an insane thing to say. But I think with Pat Surtain and the rest of that secondary, I think they can do just enough to give the Broncos enough opportunity to the Broncos offense, I should say, to gash that Cincinnati defense. So I will be on the Broncos on the money, on the straight up money line as dogs win outright in this game. Really like that look as well. Saturday night, Cardinals and Rams. Listen, this Rams team, like, if you've been listening for a couple weeks, you know we have positions on the Seahawks at 5-1, 4-1, whatever number you got, to win the NFC West. Seahawks take care of business barely against the Bears on Thursday night. So they do their job, kind of, I guess. But, you know, Bears kind of bailed them out with, you know, not having a kicker that can hit a 57-yard field goal. But I digress. But the Rams in the driver's seat for the NFC West. And if they beat the Cardinals this week, then they just win. And the Seahawks tilt against the Rams in week 18 isn't going to matter. But I do think that the Rams are getting a little too much credit here. 6.5. Like, should the Rams be favored? Sure. But like, yes, the Cardinals are eliminated from the playoffs. Yes, they don't really have a lot to play for here. Yes, this is the classic Kyler Murray like graph of events of how he starts the year awesome, looks like an MVP candidate. November, December hit, and he goes from great to average and mediocre to aggressively mediocre. So I know there's some thoughts about how motivated he's going to be. James Conner may not be in this game, but I'm not saying Arizona outright at better than 2-1 on the money line. But if this gets to 7, like we're at 6.5 right now, if this gets to 7, I'm going to be interested in the Cardinals. I don't think these teams are that far apart. And especially if Connor ends up playing in this game, then I think Arizona can just grind it out, run the ball, and really put the Rams into a bad position. And also, let's not forget, the Cardinals destroyed the Rams in their first meeting of the season. This is the second time that they're seeing each other. And the Cardinals took care of business pretty handily in that game. So I think a Rams team that has been very up and down, I won't say fraudulent, but you know, they've had some games where they haven't looked that great. So they lost to this team once already, 41-10. The Cardinals won that one. It was at home. This one's in LA, obviously, but the Rams don't exactly have the best home field advantage in the sport. So if anything there, I would go the Cardinals on the side. The total 47.5. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't like the over here. If you get a good Kyler game, they should be able to put up points. We know what the Rams can do on offense as well. So if I had to bet the total there, it would be the over. But if we get to 7, I'm going to like that way more. Cowboys and Eagles, a ton of injury stuff to parse through here. Obviously, Jalen Hurts, the big one. Yesterday, Nick Sirianni saying that Jalen Hurts still in concussion protocol, not looking like he's going to make it this week. So it's likely going to be Tanner McKee or Kenny Pickett, which I know is not the best. However, this is still an Eagles team with Saquon Barkley, with a really good offensive line, with A.J. Brown, with Devonta Smith. So it's kind of like how I said any of us could go out there and put up numbers against the Cincinnati defense. I feel like any of us could go under center and play quarterback for the Eagles and probably just do an okay job. Like, what do you think the Eagles are going to do? They're going to hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley 30, 35 times, let him do his thing, and just kind of grind it out against the Cowboys. Also, a Cowboys team that's not going to have CeeDee Lamb. I like Cooper Rush. I think he's a very good backup in the NFL. Clearly, he can win some games for you in a tight spot or in an extended spot even. They're 4-3 with him this year, for God's sake. But 7 feels right, even with Kenny Pickett. And I know Kenny Pickett, we all make the jokes and make fun of him, that he's a crybaby, that he has tiny hands, but was a first rounder. And if anybody can get something out of him, I think it'll be the Eagles with all of the weapons around there. So Eagles, I think laying the 7 with them is fine. The total 38.5. Yeah, like I think it has to be the under, right? Especially if we think that the Eagles are simply going to run, and we don't think that the Cowboys can put up a ton of points, especially without CeeDee Lamb. I think the under is the play there. So I like the 7 with the Eagles, and I like the under in the game. I actually feel more confident in the under for the first time today. I'm saying that. Feel more confident in the under in that game than I do on the side. But going up next, Colts, Giants, 7.5. With the Colts. Listen, I know this Giants team is atrocious and it's an offense to your eyeballs to have to watch, but 7.5? Are we sure that's right with Anthony Richardson and this Colts team? And I know they'll probably just run the ball a million times with Jonathan Taylor, but I just don't know that this is the right side. Not saying that the Giants have to win the game or that they're live to win the game. They're not, because they're clearly tanking. But 7.5 feels like giving the Colts a lot of credit. This is a pass for me on the side. Totals 40.5. How is this not an under game too? Like let's play it this way. Close your eyes. And what is the first score that pops into your head? Like, I'll give you a second. Close your eyes. This is the first score you think of with Colts at Giants. Like 17-10, 20-10, maybe. Even if it's 20-10, like, you're still sitting at 30 points. You're still well clear of the number there. So I think the under in Colts and Giants is going to be the look for me. Another really, really gross game. I will knock out the next two gross games. Raiders and Saints. Saints catching 1.5 at home. Raiders coming off their win where they essentially just destroy their hopes and dreams for the draft, because what a really dumb team. But Antonio Pierce is going to try and win these games. He's coaching for his next job. He knows he's probably fired. So he's coaching to try and put something on tape for a coordinator job, or maybe a next head coaching job, a likely coordinator job. So he's going to go out and try to win this game. And Spencer Rattler, like, he's terrible. Is he the worst quarterback in the NFL? Starter? I mean, I guess if Desmond Ridder is starting this game, then you could really make the argument. But I still think, like, Saints at home, they have somewhat of a home field advantage. The Raiders need to try and lose this game again. And Rattler, for all of his, how terrible he looked on Monday night against the Packers, it's not like the Vegas defense is anything special. Like, remember that Kirk Cousins in his final game as the Falcons starter had a pretty decent game against them. It was able to get some balls over the top on that defense. So this is so gross, but I think it's the Saints, honestly. Like, Saints are nothing, which is disgusting to say, and I really, really hate it. But that's the only side for me. I think this Raiders team is going to try and overcorrect after they won last week and essentially tanked their hopes for the number one overall pick. Next gross game, Titans-Jaguars. Look, the book is telling you that they don't know what to do with this game. You know, Jacksonville at home, laying a point. Home favorite, totals 39.5. I mean, this game, Mason Rudolph and Mac Jones. Okay. I will say Mac Jones has actually looked decent with some of these guys. Brian Thomas is a real connection with Mac Jones. Parker Washington at points has looked serviceable. And we know what Mason Rudolph is, right? And Doug Peterson coaching for his job, trying desperately to hang on. Probably won't. Probably still gets fired anyway. But do it again. Close your eyes. And what's this game? What's the score? You know, 17-10, like 20, like 23-10. I think the under only here, it's 39.5. And I'll take Jacksonville at a pick. At least Mac Jones has shown something like resembling what made him a high draft pick, a first rounder from the Patriots, and has shown glimpses of being able to make big plays. So I'll take the Jaguars on the side on the money line. It's a pick, and it's only the under 39.5 for me in that one. Jets and Bills. Stop me if you've heard this one before. People are betting the Jets. Numbers 9.5, totals at 46.5. Bills can only get the 2 seed in the AFC after the Chiefs lock up the 1 seed. I know, but let's be honest. The Bills, even if they're just going pure vanilla play calling, even if they just run James Cook 30 times in this game and they have Josh Allen throw some slants, they can't beat the Jets by 10? I know Aaron Rodgers has looked better, and maybe he's finally fully recovered from that Achilles injury, finally, after long last, but
he's averaged almost 300 passing yards per game, has had a couple of games with multiple touchdowns, but Devontae Adams banged up. They're starting right tackle banged up, probably not going to play. I think it's only the Bills. Like, I think the Bills can go the most bland, vanilla play calling for this entire game and just get away with a win and a double-digit win. So, honestly, I'm fine laying the 9.5 with the Bills in this spot. Divisional game at home. That place is still going to be a madhouse. They're going to let the Jets hear it. So I'll lay it with the Bills. Honestly, 46.5 for the total seems high. I know that the Bills can score, but if we assume they're going to do just bland play calling and they're just going to run James Cook a million times and try to drag this game out, get in, get out with a win, I think it only has to be the under here, right? Like, how, especially if no Devontae Adams, how does this team score? So I'm fine laying it with the Bills, 9.5. I am perfectly fine with that. I think the Bills can easily win by double digits, and it's the under in that game for me. This one's kind of interesting. Panthers getting 8.5 at Tampa Bay. Saw this game a couple weeks ago, went to overtime. Bryce Young had a really nice game, and that one totals 47.5. Like the over and this one. Listen, Bryce Young has looked pretty damn good over, you know, ever since he was reinserted as the starter. Obviously, he still had some hiccups, hasn't been perfect, but he still looked pretty good. Like, let's all be honest about this. And he's taken the Panthers to some very near wins. And the Bucs, you know, I like them. I think they're a good team, but catching more than a touchdown here, I like the Panthers. I'll go down with the ship on the Panthers here. What do we see with this team? You know, they couldn't cover as a favorite against the Cowboys, but at huge numbers, like more than a touchdown, I like this for the Panthers. I think they've played pretty well, all things considered, especially in the last couple of weeks. Because, I mean, listen, they beat the Cardinals outright in overtime. They lose to the Cowboys in that game, and they were favored. But take the Eagles down to the wire, and then that overtime game against the Buccaneers. So they've been playing well over the last month or so. Oh, more than a touchdown, I am more than comfortable with the Panthers in that one, and I'll take the over in this game too. They've kind of been an over team, 36-30 against the Cardinals last week, 30-14 against the Cowboys the week before that. And so, and I know this total's high, but I'm fine laying that. So I will go Bucks Panthers over, and I will take the points with the Panthers in that one as well. Dolphins Browns, like, it's never the Browns. I'll tell you that. It's never DTR, who maybe is the only quarterback worse in the league than what's his face, who we were just talking about, Spencer Rattler. So I know it's the Dolphins in weather, but I think they should be able to cover a touchdown here. How do the Browns score? I know the Dolphins defense is bleh, but how do the Browns score? I don't see it. So pass for me, but it's never the Browns. It would only ever be the Dolphins here, and only ever the under in a December game in Cleveland. No thanks. This one, very fun. Packers Vikings, basically a pick. Vikings are -1.5. The number's all over the place. You see Packers -1, you see Vikings -1. It depends on where you look. But I like the Vikings outright here. This game should be a ton of fun, and it's in Minnesota. That place is going to be an absolute madhouse. The Vikings have a true home field advantage. They let you hear it. That place is going to be insane. And let's also remember that we saw these teams play back in September. Vikings won that one in Green Bay, 31-29. And the Vikings were up big in that game, and they let the Packers claw their way back in it. I mean, the Vikings had a 28-7 lead at halftime, and Green Bay scores 22 points in the fourth quarter. But Minnesota escapes. Now you go to Minnesota, and I think Brian Flores is going to be ready. And his second time seeing Jordan Love, I think he's perfectly capable of making the necessary adjustments for this Packers team. I don't think you're going to see this Vikings defense be, you know, let up again. I think they'll be pretty relentless all game long. And the Vikings offense has been playing really, really well. So, I mean, 42 points against the Falcons, 30 points against the Bears, 27 points against the Seahawks. At home, divisional game, big for the Vikings. Vikings still have a path to the one seed, too, by the way. So they're going to be ultra motivated for this game. I like the Vikings. Look around. The numbers vary. It bounces around. You could see some, you know, I mean, at one book, it's Vikings -1.5. Other books, it's Packers -1. So find the best number. I really like the Vikings in this one. I think they'll be ready. I think they'll be able to win at home against Green Bay. Rounded out here with Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. Falcons Commanders. Falcons on the road, Michael Penix's first road game in the NFL against the Commanders team that is still in the playoffs, still a good team, coming off a very emotional win over the Eagles. Granted, it was without Jalen Hurts, but last second win against the Eagles, and the Commanders pulled that one, that upset off. So listen, we've seen this year. Caleb Williams, first road start, loss. Bo Nix, first road start, loss. Ironically, Drake May, first road start, opening game of the year against the Bengals, win. But now we know what the Bengals are, too. So now Penix, first road start, and it's against the Commanders team that is playing pretty well. Numbers 4.5. I am interested a little bit in the Falcons, but it looks like people are betting them. So at I would like to get 4 instead of 4.5, which I know seems like such a nothing. But listen, game ends, you know, 21-17. You'll be happy to have the flat 4. You know what I mean? So if anything, I think I would lay it with the Commanders. I do like the over in this game, 47.5. We know what both these offenses can do. I think you'll see with Penix, because let's be honest, Penix's debut start was against the Giants, didn't have to do too much. Think they'll open it up a little bit more this time, and I think we'll see him sling it a little bit more and try to get Drake London, and Kyle, assuming Drake London plays, of course, but Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, I think we'll see them more involved in this one. So would only be the Commanders side for me if we get to 4. But also like the over 47.5. Lions and Niners, we're sitting at 3.5. I don't think we're going to get to 3, but if you like the Lions, bet it right now, because you're going to wake up Monday morning and this game is going to be 4, 4.5, maybe even 5. Like, I think that we're more likely to go to 4.5 than we are to 3. And so I bet the Lions already. I think Dan Campbell is going to be up for this game, primetime game. He doesn't take games off. He's going to be go, go, go. And this Niners team, no Trent Williams, Brock Purdy's future is up in the air. Obviously no Ayuk, so no McCaffrey. I think it's only the Lions. I think this could be an absolute kablamo boat race game for the Lions. And like I said, if you like them, if you agree with me, bet it now, because this number is only going towards the Lions. It's only going to get bigger, 4, 4.5 before it gets to 3. So I really like the Lions in that spot. Dan Campbell does not take games off. So that's how I feel about that. But that is the entire NFL slate for the weekend. Obviously, we saw a bunch of games during the week, Christmas Day and Thursday Night Football, but still a ton of NFL going on this weekend. Went through every spread and gave you some thoughts on the side and total for all of them as well. Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe you agree with me. Well, either way, fade me, tell me. We'll see how it goes. But that is it for this segment. Going to hit a quick break on the other side. Going to close with some thoughts on the Chiefs and an MLB future. I know it's just I can't stop looking at it. I'm a sicko. My bad. But close out the show. Last couple minutes here. Going to end with one more big picture NFL thought on the Chiefs and an MLB thought for you as well. So stick around. Jake Hassan, 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. On the other side, we close out the show. We will be right back. All right, welcome back. Final segment here, 670 The Score, Early Odds. Jake Hassan with you. Just me today. No guests this week. It was Christmas week, you know, going into New Year's. Don't want to really be bothering people. People are traveling. It's a whole thing. So just me today. Just knocked it out. Talked a lot of college football. Talked a lot of NFL. And now going to close with just some big picture thoughts. Just one big thing for me that I didn't get to in the opening about the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's that they're just going to win the Super Bowl again. I think they're now your favorites. They've leapt the Lions, and you watch that game on Christmas against the Steelers on Netflix, presuming you have Netflix, or maybe you found a stream elsewhere. I don't know, but that's not my business. Point being, you go to Pittsburgh, a team that's in the playoffs, a team with a winning record, has surprised some people this year, and Kansas City goes and just takes care of business. I mean, that game was never really close. Like, did anyone who watched that game really feel like Pittsburgh was ever really in it at all? Like, I watched that game, and from Jump Street, I was just kind of like, oh, they're just going to win. And it was a short spread, too. It was, what, it closed, what, 2.5? I loved betting that number. It was awesome. A great time betting that, and Chiefs end up winning 29-10, but the box score I feel like gives the Steelers more credit than they should have anyway. Like, I don't even think it was that close. It was a 3-score game. It felt even bigger than that. I think the Chiefs just go into Pittsburgh, they choke the life out of you, they frazzle you. They're running Xavier Worthy out of the backfield. Hollywood Brown is back, and he didn't have a huge game, but he's involved. By the way, DeAndre Hopkins still involved. By the way, Travis Kelce sets the franchise record for touchdowns by a tight end. And they just cruise, man. So who's stopping this team? Like, you could talk about the Ravens and the Bills all you want, but at the end of the day, I think this is just going to be the same old story. Like, I'm sitting there on Christmas, you know, talking to my family, and this is what happens when you work in sports, is that people are like, oh, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Oh, the Super Bowl, like, give us a pick. What's the play? And, you know, football's on, so family members are obviously going to ask, like, oh, well, what do you think for the Super Bowl? Like, who's going to win? What do you think? Like, anybody you like? And it's boring, but I just kept saying, it's just the Chiefs. It's just going to be the Chiefs again. How is it not? They're getting healthier. They're getting better as time goes on. They're getting healthier. Isaiah Pacheco is back. Now, like I mentioned, Hollywood Brown is back after he's missed almost the entire year. That was his second game back. And they still also, by the way, didn't have Chris Jones in that game. Their best defensive player, one of the best defensive players in the league, by the way, didn't even play in that game. And they still hold the Steelers to 10 points. Now, maybe that part is more about the Steelers than anything else, but the Chiefs defense has been good and solid all year long. So people ask, oh, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Arguably the best quarterback of all time and the Hall of Fame head coach and the Hall of Fame tight end and the Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. Like, how is it otherwise? I like the Ravens. They're a fun team. Watching them beat down on the Texans was a lot of fun as somebody who was holding 5.5. Lamar's awesome. Still not going to win MVP. But it's just, how is it anybody else? We've seen this before. We get excited about a team like the Bills. We get excited about a team like the Ravens. And it's kind of like what I was talking about in the first segment of, oh, it's fatigue. People will just get tired of the favorite or these powerhouses winning time after time. And we want to try to find ways to beat them. And then you just don't. And then they just win. So I think it's just going to be the Chiefs again. They continue to just be this team that when it comes to crunch time and when it comes to when it matters, they just flip the switch and they just win. And I think that's what we're going to see. They have the one seed in the AFC again. So the AFC runs through Arrowhead again. And we've seen Josh Allen try to beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead in the postseason. Doesn't work out. We've seen Lamar try to beat the Chiefs in the postseason at Arrowhead. Doesn't work out. And I think we're going to see the same thing again. And to quote Nick Costos, who you've probably heard on at some point today during commercial break doing commercials, you can be mad about it. You can scream and kick and cry about the Chiefs being awesome again, or you can make money on it. And I'm going to be betting them week to week. I'm going to be betting them in the postseason, going to have tickets on them to win the Super Bowl and win the AFC because it's just what they do. This is just what it is. And I'm choosing to lean into it instead of trying to find ways to get around it. So that's my thought on the Chiefs. I think that's just what it's going to be. But want to close here with a thought on Major League Baseball because there's been moves happening and win totals have started to get posted and World Series odds have been out for a long time. But I'm going to plant a flag right now. And I think the Texas Rangers are going to win the World Series. I am sorry to Cubs fans, obviously, who are very excited about Kyle Tucker and maybe Roky Sasaki and other additions, but I think the Texas Rangers are just going to win the World Series. And the reason why, the crux of this for me is they still have almost all of the team that won the World Series in 2023. Corey Seager is still there. Adolis Garcia is still there. Jonah Heim's still there. Oh, by the way, Wyatt Langford in his second year after he had a so-so up and down rookie year was rookie of the year favorite at one point, was a number four overall pick, raked in the minors. Oh, by the way, Evan Carter will be back and have a fully healthy year. Guy who was pivotal to the Rangers run when they went to the World Series. Oh, by the way, Marcus Semien is still there. And now, full year of Jacob deGrom, assuming. You saw him a little bit at the end last year, came back from Tommy John surgery and looked pretty damn awesome, by the way. Looked really, really good. Looked like old Jacob deGrom. So now he has a full winter of healing up, resting up. He'll be back, theoretically, for the entire year. They re-signed Nathan Eovaldi. They also, by the way, have Kumar Rocker for a full year, who I know you go to like Fangraphs or a depth chart and it doesn't show Rocker in the rotation. He's going to be in the rotation. I think he flashed enough and now gets a full offseason of work with the major league coaching staff. I think he'll be in that rotation. He was one of the better college pitchers we've seen in recent memory and had nasty stuff and showed flashes of that stuff in his short debut at the major league level. And Corey Bradford, I think, does not get enough credit. I think he's a very unknown name that people are going to learn because he has some really nasty stuff in that rotation. And then you have other options, like what's stopping them from bringing Max Scherzer back? Well, and then they have also Dane Dunning in the bullpen. They have John Gray still around as well. He should probably be a reliever, but I digress. So they have a ton of options, and then they still have this championship caliber rotation that they had when they last won the World Series. And then they add someone like Jock Peterson to that mix to be a platoon guy who has won a couple World Series, by the way, and has been part of some deep championship runs. So, I mean, he's going to be a huge acquisition for them as well. So I do just think that the Texas Rangers, and you can find 30-1 out there on the Texas Rangers to win the World Series. It ranges, find the best number, because there's as low as 23-1 as well. So make sure you're finding the best number, but there's still 30-1 out there on this team to make a run and win the World Series. And I think that they absolutely could do that. I really like that look for them. And oh, by the way, I almost forgot this. They acquired Jake Berger from Miami too, a guy who has a ton of pop, has 30 home run potential, and shores up first base for them. So I think this team has the juice, man, and a lot of it is in the rotation, but that lineup is very, very scary, and they've shown they're willing to get aggressive and make trades as well. If you want some win totals really fast, I like the Royals. Again, I like their over. It's 82.5, 83.5. I think that's way too low for a team that, you know, was a deep postseason run this year and still has ascending stars like Bobby Witt Jr., who's an MVP favorite. I think that's way too low. Really like the Nationals and the A's over as well. The A's, 69.5. I know they're going to be in Sacramento, but I like what they're building in that rotation with Luis Severino and Jeffrey Springs at the top, and then a full year of Jacob Wilson, who's going to be an excellent rookie. And then you'll see Nick Kurtz at some point as well, who absolutely rakes. So some MLB thoughts here to close, but was a big college football show, was a big NFL show, was just me today, was just your boy. Thank you for listening. As always, this is Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. We will see you again next week. Thank you to the boys in the back for making sure the show is on the air and sounds good so that we can keep doing it, because I like doing it and it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to be here every week with you guys. So for the boys in the back, for myself, I have been Jay Kassan. This has been 670 The Score. This has been Early Odds. We will see you next week. Boys, hit the music.